Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
And a happy Palm Sunday to you. This is Deacon Al on Good News here on Catholic Spirit Radio as we celebrate Palm Sunday of the Lord's Passion at our Catholic churches. We'll be reading from some of the scriptures. We're not going to do all the scriptures from Mass because it's only a 30-minute show and we have the Passion of Christ as our gospel, but we are going to read a portion of it. We're going to do something we haven't done before, and that is focus on the responsorial psalm. And we're going to do that for a very specific reason, a question that was asked to me by a member of one of our parishes. I think it's a great question, and it's one that a lot of people don't realize. So we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that in just a few minutes. But just wanted to congratulate all the people who are in RCIA or OCIA, as it's now called, the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults, now called the Order of Christian Initiation for Adults. This is the 9-month-long process that most Catholic parishes use to bring adults into the faith who are either becoming Christian for the first time through baptism or have been baptized in other faiths, other Christian faiths, but are converting to Catholicism, or perhaps they started in the Catholic faith very young and then for one reason or another fell away and never completed their sacraments of initiation. So maybe they got their they got baptized and got First Communion, but never got confirmed. So there's a few different ways that you can enter into the church. And that's the nice thing about it is you can come in at any age, at any stage of life. You can come in at 8 days old. You can come in at 80 years old. It really doesn't matter. It's this that you come home. That's the important part. So something we'd like to do to celebrate all the people coming into our faith. In the parishes I serve, we have eight adults who will be baptized and confirmed this Easter Vigil Mass. So really excited about that. So let's do this. Let's celebrate them by name. Jesus calls us by name to be disciples. So let's call our new candidates and confirmantes out by name. So what I'd like to invite you to do is, if you have folks in your parish who will be joining the Catholic Church this coming Easter Vigil, if you would, I'm sure they've listed their names in your church bulletin, if you would send us a picture of that page or a copy of it so that we can see their names in the bulletin, we'd like to put together a list of everyone in the diocese that we serve and mention all of our new Catholic brothers and sisters on the air here by name. So just send us the page from your bulletin with their name on it, or something on the letterhead from your parish, or like I say, a picture of the bulletin page, anything like that. Send it in to us at Catholic Spirit Radio. You can get our contact information off of our website at catholicspiritradio.org. And we would be happy to mention all of our new Catholic and brothers and sisters by name here on the air on Good News or perhaps on some of our other programming here on Catholic Spirit Radio. So we hope you'll do that so we can all celebrate this as one large Catholic community. The readings this Sunday, I love the Passion of Christ. It breaks my heart every time I hear it. But I love it as a story that really tells about the love of Christ. What greater love is there than to lay down your life for a friend? And this is a great example of how Christ views us as his friends, as his family, and is willing to do anything for our salvation, including to offer his own life for us. But when you think about the passion, the brutality of the crucifixion, of just the passion, what he was put through, the torturous behavior that he was put through by both the Jewish Sanhedrin and by the Romans, it's such a sad statement about humanity, about what we're willing to do to hold on to power or prestige, as the Sanhedrin was trying to do, or to how we're willing to destroy anything that we don't completely agree with. And so it's kind of a mixed, it's a mixed bag. It's a glorious story. It has a wonderfully happy ending, but what we have, what we put our God through in order to achieve what he wants for our own good, I just find the conflict of that is just an amazing thing to think about. So make it to Mass this weekend. Study the Passion of Christ. Really understand, trying to understand what's going on. Put yourself in the place of Christ, or in the place of the disciples as they watch this happen to the teacher and the Lord that they've come to love. Put yourself in the position of his mother, Mary, watching her son go through all this. Can you imagine if you had a child, even in his 30s, watch them being brutalized in front of the public the way the Romans did with Jesus, with the scourging, the crown of thorns, the beatings, the crucifixion itself, just horrendous activities to have to watch. Put yourself in the position of these various people in this play, this passion play, and really feel what they're going through, and understand not only the great grief, but the great love that's happening at the same time. So a question was asked of me, and it comes up in today's responsorial psalm. Why did Christ, hanging on the cross, say the words he said, my God, why have you abandoned me? Did God really abandon his son at this time in his life, at the most horrendous moment? Does God abandon us at the lowest point in our lives? And I think what you have to remember is going back to the Old Testament, we didn't have chapters and verses for thousands of years. In fact, the Bible wasn't really broken into numbered chapters within a book until the 13th century. Verse numbers weren't added until the 16th century. So why, the 17th century in the 1600s. So why did it take so long, especially in the Old Testament? Why did it take so long to give numerical reference points to the scriptures? Well, that's because the Old Testament was memorized. Every Jew knew every word from the entire Torah and Psalms, because Psalms were their prayers. You know, they had books of wisdom, they had books of law, and they had those memorized, but the Psalms were what the Jews prayed. So when we hear about, you know, Jesus went off and prayed, he was praying the Psalms as any good Jew of his time would do. And these were all completely memorized from rote. They were trained as young children to memorize sacred scripture. It was that important in their lives that everyone knew it. And so when you wanted to talk about some scripture, you didn't say Psalm this, number this, verse, you know, 22 through 25. What you did was, your reference point was were the words. You would say the words, the opening words of the book. And that would tell everyone what book and chapter you were talking about by the opening phrase. It was that well memorized. So at the crucifixion, we have Jesus about to die, calls out, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why? And we're going to talk about that when we get back from these few messages. You're listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Stay tuned. Good News will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
We are the Easter people. That joyful quote from Pope St. John Paul II is truly beautiful. Catholic Spirit Radio has plans to broadcast more quotes, facts, and personal stories about this holy and beloved man. Hi, I'm Debbie Giorgiani from EWTN Radio, and I will again be the host of Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon from April 2nd through the 5th. Our focus this year is St. John Paul II, so you won't want to miss a single day of our our special programming. We'll have plenty of other things to keep you entertained as well, including local and national guests, a gift for every donor, and daily drawings. Pope John Paul II reminds us that each of us are called to evangelize, and when you make a donation during the Carathon, you are helping to pay bills, update equipment, and create resources which share the good news of our faith. The Catholic Spirit Radio Network does good work for you. They are a nonprofit and definitely need your financial and prayerful help to continue broadcasting throughout Central and Northern Illinois. Spend time with us for Catholic Spirit Radio's Carathon and show that you care on April 2nd through the 5th.
Hey, this is Father Mitch Pacwa, host of Open Line Wednesday. For me, Catholic Radio is a chance to speak and hear our Catholic doctrine, consider it, think about it, apply it to everyday life, and be blatantly in the public with it. And I am so thankful to you for being an important part of the Lord's plan. By participating and listening, invite others to listen and hear Open Line.
If you have some extra time, put those hours to use for the Lord. With Catholic Spirit Radio's growing radio network, we have 3 new behind-the-scenes volunteer positions. If you're interested, call the station, 309-807-2427.
Volunteers are specifically needed for each of these roles. First, an energetic and experienced event manager is needed to coordinate our spring and fall on-air fundraisers.
Give us a call if that's you.
Second, Catholic Spirit Radio needs 1 to 2 hours every 2 or 3 weeks from a volunteer or a team of 2 for lightweight general cleaning at our normal location.
Give us a call if you and a friend are interested.
And third, we are in need of 1 to 2 spirit liaisons from each of these areas: Rockford, Harvard, Morris, DeKalb, Sycamore, Lincoln, Pontiac, and Clinton. These individuals will assist with informational tables at your local events.
Give us a call if you can help out.
Become part of our radio mission in 2024.
Volunteer at Catholic Spirit Radio.
309-807-2427.
Catholic Spirit Radio has posted a special list of Mass times for more than 80 local churches that fulfill the one Easter obligation to attend either Holy Saturday evening or Easter morning.
Our list also includes the 2 optional Thursday's Last Supper Mass and Good Friday services.
Lent is a great time to consult our community calendar of parish and organization events and our year-round webpage with weekly confession times, including Lent reconciliation services.
Go to CatholicSpiritRadio.com.
Hello, this is Steve Gleason with your one-minute tool for Catholic evangelism. Here's the question for your non-Catholic friend. Do you really want your church being named after adjectives, things, or ideas? Well, here's your 3 best friendship tools for Catholic evangelism. Number 1, here's some real church names. Z Church, Tapestry Church, First Congregational Church, Resonate Church, Watermark Church, Church 1132, and the list goes on. Secondly, history. By the 3rd century, Catholic churches were named after a holy one or an archangel. Shouldn't a church have a name that honors those who serve our Lord Jesus with utter passion, allegiance, and the dread of even martyrdom? These holy ones, now called saints, were understood by the early church to be patrons and intercessors for each local congregation. And thirdly, my comeback. In the church growth industry, and yes, it's an industry, you're encouraged to employ a church name that identifies the attitude of the people within the church. What? The people? Even worse, we now have uber trendy, hipster, latte, MacBook, postmodern church names. Well, at least you'll have a cool uptown church name, but unfortunately, there won't be any holy patron or intercessor watching over your church.
Welcome back. This is Deacon Al on Good News here on Catholic Spirit Radio. We're talking about the readings from this Sunday's Mass being Palm Sunday, the Lord's Passion. And the question was asked of me about why does Jesus on the cross say, my God, why have you abandoned me? Did God really abandon his son at this horrible moment in his life? And does God abandon us when things are bad in our lives? And so to understand this, we turn to Scripture. So in our first reading from today, it's from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah writes, "The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled. I have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard, my face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. So we've spoken before about how the Old Testament not only tells about what's happening at the moment of the writing of that Testament, but it also foretells what's going to happen in the New Testament, what's going to come to completion in the life of Christ. So doesn't this sound familiar when we talk about the passion of Christ and what he goes through at the hands of the Sanhedrin and of the Romans? It says, I gave my back to those who beat me. Does that sound familiar? My cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. All those happened to Christ during his passion. But he says, the Lord God is my help. Therefore, I'm not disgraced. I've set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. Through the entire passion, Jesus remains silent. He didn't argue. He didn't complain. He didn't give verbal attacks to those who were beating them. He took what they were giving him because he knew that what he was doing was the will of God. And so we see that reflected in thousands of years in advance, 1,000 years in advance by the prophet Isaiah. So then we turn to the Psalms. So the Psalms were written during the times of David and his son Solomon. And if you look at Psalm 22, we see it starts with, my God, why have you abandoned me? Sound familiar? This is the same thing Jesus said from the cross. Because understand, while he's on the cross, what's happening? Well, there are members of the Sanhedrin on the ground at his feet. There are scribes at his feet. There are members of the Romans, the Roman guards, who are all throwing slurs at him, who are all saying things like, you know, if you're God, why don't you come down from the cross? Save yourself, right? We even have the thief on at his side saying that, if you're really God, take yourself down from the cross. You don't need to do this. So he's got all this being thrown at him. And what's his response? He reminds them of the Psalms. He reminds them of the prayers that they would know very well as Jews. They would have these prayers memorized. And he reminds them by using the opening phrase from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then it goes on to say in that Psalm, why are you so far from my call for help, from my cries of anguish? My God, I call by day, but you do not answer. By night, I have no relief. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the glory of Israel. In you our fathers have trusted. They trusted and you rescued them. To you they cried out and they escaped. If they trusted you and were not disappointed. But I am a worm, not a man, scorned by men, despised by people. Does this sound familiar? This is the life of Christ. This is what he's going through with his own people. But this was written centuries ahead. All who see me mock me. They curl their lips and jeer. They shake their heads at me. You relied on the Lord. Let him deliver him. If he loves him, let him rescue him. These are all the same things that he's hearing right now from the Pharisees, and he's throwing it back in the Pharisees' face, saying, you're doing exactly what Scripture said you would do to me. You're doing now. Do you not see this? Upon you, I was thrust from the womb since my mother bore me. You are my God. Do not stay far from me, for trouble is near and there is no one to help. So he, as they say, he's just tossing back at them what they're doing to him. But let's go a little further down and find out that what starts in this prayer of anguish ends up in a prayer of glory and reverence. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to you, Lord. All the families of nations will bow low before him, for kingship belongs to the Lord, the ruler over the nations. All who sleep in the earth will bow low before God. All who have gone down into the dust will kneel in homage. And we hear in that same book from Isaiah about kneeling in homage. The generation to come will be told of the Lord, just as it is now. And they may proclaim to a people yet unborn the deliverance you have brought. So Jesus is telling them, you're doing exactly what Scripture said you would do. And in the future, you aren't going to be remembered. What I'm doing is going to bring glory to God, my Father. So if we jump into the gospel very, very briefly, because again, it's a very long gospel. We're not going to have time to get through it in this program. However, tune in next week and we will do the whole passion play here on the program. So you can hear this next reading in its entirety next weekend. But the part I wanted to point out here is the soldiers led him away inside the palace. They clothed him in purple, weaving a crown of thorns, placed it on his head, and began to salute him with "Hail, King of the Jews," and kept striking his head with reed and spitting on him. They knelt before him in homage. When they mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him out to be crucified. So they're doing the same things again that Christ reminded them of when he went to the Psalms. So that's why Jesus says that, not because he feels abandoned by God, but because he's reminding the Pharisees that what they're doing was foretold in sacred scripture, and that it's not going to end the way they thought it would. It's going to end in the glory of God, that what they're doing is actually planned, it's intentional, and it's going to work against them for generations to come. There is one more thing I want to point out in this reading that a lot of people miss. And it's another question that was raised. Did Jesus have brothers and sisters? Well, first of all, if you're baptized, you are an adopted brother and sister of Christ. So yes, Jesus has brothers and sisters. It's all the baptized, all of us. But did Mary have other children? And I think that's the question they're really looking at. And some Christian faiths will tell you that they did. In fact, they'll tell you the name. They'll tell you the names of the other children. James, Joses, right? Salome, because in one book of Mark, it talks about, do we not know your brothers and sisters? And they name James, Joses, and Salome. Well, very interesting. Still in Mark, out of this reading, let's look at what Mark says about who was at the feet of Christ during the crucifixion. Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of the younger James and of Joses, and of Salome. Not Mary, the wife of Joseph. Not Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is Mary, as we'll hear further on in Mark, this is Mary, the wife of Clopas. Now, in the Eastern Orthodox Church, Clopas is believed to be the brother of Joseph. And Mary, the wife of Clopas, is Mary, the sister of Mary, the mother of Christ. So Joses and James and Salome are Jesus's cousins. They are the children of Mary's sister, married to Clopas, the brother of Joseph. Not unusual for families to do that at that time. And so in ancient Greek, in Koine Greek, there was no word for cousin. It was relation. A brother, a sister, a cousin, the word that used was the same word for all those family relations. So what they're saying is, aren't these your relations? And they are. They probably lived in community. I mean, that wasn't unusual either for related families to live in small communities. So James, Joses, and Salome were not Mary's children. They were Mary's nieces and nephews, cousins to Jesus. So you can't just look at one verse. You have to look at scripture as a whole and bring different parts together that are separated, because this isn't a minute to minute. Scripture is not a minute to minute journal of what goes on. It's an overview. It's a big picture stuff. And sometimes you have to look at different details of the picture to get the real story. That's all we have time for this weekend. It went really, really fast. But here we are just a week away from Easter. Next week, we invite you to tune in for the story of the Passion of Christ. And I wish you all a blessed Easter, and we'll talk to you very soon here on Catholic Spirit Radio. Be sure and tune in the week after Easter to our Carathon and help support our ministry with your prayers and your financial support. We would sure appreciate if you were there. Thank you so much. May God bless. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.